Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and very warmly welcome to this press conference with European Commission President José Manuel Barroso and European Council President Herman Van Rompuy. The two presidents are here. They arrived this morning and they're here to set out the EU and its 27 member states' positions, the positions that the two presidents are taking into the G20 in Seoul here as from today and, of course, tomorrow. I give the floor immediately to President Barroso.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am very pleased to have arrived here together with President Van Rompuy in the Republic of Korea for this G20 summit. Korea and the European Union are strategic partners and like-minded friends. I want to thank President Lee and all citizens of this country for hosting this summit. The G20 summit will be the first summit hosted by an Asian nation, non-G8 country. The European Union comes to this summit with ambition and realism. This summit, we believe, is a credibility test. The G20 brings together the most important global economies. To have all of us meeting and discussing on a regular basis is in itself an important achievement. The question is how far we can go at this summit to agree on joint action so we can boost global growth and jobs. In fact, as we said in Pittsburgh, we need to promote quality employment. Quality employment should be at the heart of the recovery. The reality is that the economic situation is better than in late 2008 when we have launched this G20 summit process. The growth prospects have improved, but recovery is uneven and unemployment is still very high. That's one of the reasons we believe growth and jobs should be at the center of our concerns. We have to accelerate and rebalance growth in a way that is good for all of us. G20 is delivering on this. We are exchanging information and engaging in mutual assessment. But we need now to go further and implement the framework for growth. The G20 has prevented the boat from sinking. We now have picked up speed, but not all engines are running on full power. G20 must show that it is indeed the premier forum for global economic cooperation. Particularly, the G20 must tackle imbalances decisively. All major economies must do their part to achieve rebalancing. And in doing so, they should consider the consequences of their action or inaction on other countries. We need to develop and use effective tools to detect, assess, and reduce excessive imbalances. I do not believe that mechanical, one-size-fits-all numerical targets are the answer to this challenge. But I think indicative guidelines could help to address large imbalances and trigger a more in-depth assessment of their nature and the root causes of impediments to adjustment. This issue is familiar to Europe. We are indeed in the process of adopting a robust mechanism to address macroeconomic imbalances inside the European Union. In this context, it is important for all partners to move towards more market-determined exchange rate systems that reflect underlying economic fundamentals and refrain from competitive devaluation of currencies. No one should seek growth for its own sake at the expense of others. This would lead to a race to the bottom. The task of the G20 is to avoid that this happens. If there is one thing that we have learned from the economic and financial crisis is that the real economy should be our reference point. And in G20, we should work together towards a stable and well-functioning international monetary system. In all this, the role of the IMF is crucial. Europe wants a more legitimate and effective IMF, and that is why we have made agreement on reform possible. At the same time, this reform must not stop here, but must be carried further. An area where the G20 has definitely made important progress is financial reform. It deserves our continued action. Out of the commitments made at the Washington Summit, we have delivered on almost all of them. We have come closer than ever before to our aim of not leaving any market or any product unregulated. But we are not yet there, and the European Union will make sure the G20 keeps up the momentum. It is crucial for world economic growth to have a financial sector that we all can trust. On development, We are very glad that development figures on the G20 agenda for the first time, and indeed we have supported that idea of the Korean presidency, and we are grateful for that. It complements our development approach with a new paradigm linking development with growth, trade and investment. The emerging economies have shown how countries that for long were not considered as boosters for growth have now become major drivers. So I believe, indeed, the G20 should look beyond its confines and see what it can do for the wider world, having in mind specifically the least developed countries. If you are serious about boosting growth and development, we have to be serious about stimulating world trade and rolling back trade restrictive measures. We should continue to fight all forms of protectionism, and we should all commit to a rapid conclusion of the Doha trade and development talks. Doha can become a significant source of growth and development in times of limited budgetary resources. We have said year after year that next year is the one. I hope that this time is true. What we need now are clear and concrete signals from all of us that we are seriously engaging in the Doha endgame. The European Union is ready for it. Finally, G20 must not waver in our efforts to come to a more sustainable management of our resources and a greener economy. I expect this summit to give a stronger political signal for real progress in Cancun in the global fight against climate change. Subsidies for fossil fuels must be gradually withdrawn. We also must continue our efforts to reduce the price volatility of oil and other commodities. Given the importance of energy for each of our economies, this is not a small change that can be done overnight. It's a strategic choice that needs a comprehensive approach. This is what the European Union is embarking on. Precisely this week, we are presenting an energy strategy for the European Union with a 2020 perspective. This will benefit both energy security and efficiency and the fight against climate change. This is, of course, important for Europe's goals, but it's a very important contribution for global energy security. To conclude, Europe is delivering. We are carrying out agreed G20 reforms. For example, establishing a new financial supervision system from 2011, regulating derivatives, making credit rating agencies more transparent and supervised, creating a bank resolution framework, introducing levies and taxes on banks. Just today, the European Parliament will cast its final vote on a new European law regulating hedge funds and private equity. Step by step, we are whipping out the remaining blank spots in financial markets. And Europe is engaging. The European Union comes to this summit fully playing its new role at the global stage. Herman Van Rompuy and myself come here representing the position of the European Union and its member states, and we will engage with all the others for a cooperative approach. Cooperation, not confrontation, must be our motto. The G20 is not a war game, not even a war of words game. It is a team play for the benefit of citizens around the world. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, President Van Rompuy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. Prior to the summit, President Barroso and I addressed a letter to the G20 leaders expressing the European Union's position on different elements of the agenda. And as usual, the European Council prepared the G20 summit in order to have a single message for the European Union as a whole. The world economy is recovering, but some important risks remain. Imbalances are still there, and closer cooperation is more than ever needed. The European Union and the Eurozone made a large contribution to the objectives of this summit, and President Barroso gave some examples a few minutes ago. The summit will officially open this evening with a working dinner on the state of the world economy and the framework for growth, and I expect a very important debate on that matter. I will present the European Union's position on two particular issues. What is the economic situation in the Union and in the euro area? And second, what does the Union expect from the G20 framework? First question. On the first element, our growth projections, economic growth in the Union, are double as high as expected 6 months ago. But it is a multi-speed recovery. Germany's performance is very strong, and a number of member states are on track as well. we believe there will be a positive spillover effect to other member states. Most of our member states are successfully implementing major reforms, both on the fiscal side and on the structural one. We are not complacent, knowing the problems in some EU countries, but we are confident in our capacity to overcome them. We confirm our commitment to a growth-friendly, gradual, and differentiated fiscal consolidation. As regards economic governance, the Union is making major progress. 2 weeks ago, the October European Council endorsed a major overhaul of economic policy framework based on the following elements: greater fiscal discipline, with the possibility of sanctions, broader economic surveillance, with the possibility of sanctions, and a permanent crisis management mechanism. Our fiscal policies and our strong economic governance will further underpin the stability of the euro. The second element, the EU's expectation for the G20. The Union believes that there is a need to coordinate policies. In that respect, we are ready to coordinate within the framework of the G20. I should like to mention two main topics to be discussed this evening: current account imbalances and exchange rates. On current account imbalances, these should be used as a warning indicator for possible obstacles to adjust. We are doing exactly this in the European Union to redress or prevent loss of competitiveness. But we do not believe in mechanistic approaches. As a matter of fact, the European Union as a whole has a balanced current account position. A balanced current account position. On exchange rates, we want exchange rates, as President Barroso said, that reflect the reality of the economic fundamentals and are market determined. In addition, these fundamentals have to be sound as far as inflation and current account of balance and payments is concerned. We also need to take into consideration the possible spillover of our economic policies on our international partners. We have to avoid currency wars like we should avoid protectionism. Once again, we need coordination and a strong sense of responsibility for the world economy as a whole. In this respect, completing the Doha Round should remain a top priority. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we shall also discuss other two key subjects: the reform of the international financial institutions and the financial regulatory reform. On tomorrow's first topic, I would like to say that the European Union members have played a key role to reach an agreement, a landmark agreement on the quota shift and on the representation of the emerging market economies. The result exceeds the objective set in Pittsburgh in 2009. I may say it was not easy for the European countries, but we agreed that emerging countries need increased visibility and a voice. Of course, we are convinced that more representation should go hand in hand with more responsibilities. We now need to implement this agreement within the given deadline, 2012. On financial regulatory reform, a lot of work has already been done, but further work is still needed. The momentum should not be lost. The European Union fully supports the new agreement on capital and liquidity standards, Basel III. We consider an agreed G20 timetable crucial for its implementation to ensure a level playing field. We need to continue our work on taxation of financial transactions, cross-border crisis management, and commodity derivatives. The incoming French G8 and G20 presidency will play a decisive role. To conclude, our key message to our partners in this summit is to keep momentum for a coordinated answer to the collective challenge we are facing. Each country and region has its specific situation. But we are all in the same boat, and we should continue to work to share a common sense of direction. The European Union wants to make this summit a success by first contributing to a sustainable and balanced growth by our fiscal consolidation, higher economic growth, and a balanced current account of the balance of payment, and by a stronger internal economic governance. We want the summit to make a success by making possible our indispensable contribution to the reform of the International Monetary Fund and by supporting the Basel III agreements. And we are looking forward to engagement by other G20 partners, especially on imbalances, exchange rates and trade, avoiding protectionism and rapidly concluding the Doha round. Thank you.
Thank you very much to President Van Rompuy also. Now we have time for some questions. I believe we also have some assistance to get the microphones around. I will try to take the questions in the order that I see them. I saw actually Dirk de Wilde in the third row here in front of me first. So let's start here in the third row. If we can get the microphone over, and perhaps there are two of them, so if we can use both of them on each side to be most effective. Yeah. Thank you.
Dirk de Wilde, De Tijd. A question for each of the presidents. To Mr. Barroso, the hot topic of the last days was the quantitative easing of the Fed. What will be your message to President Obama? And to President Van Rompuy, now that more G20 countries are choosing fiscal consolidation instead of stimulating the economy, what other ways are there to rebalance the economy in the world?
First of all, and as you know, usually in the European Commission we do not make comments on decisions taken by independent monetary authorities. Having said this, I know it has become a very important issue in the overall debate. That is why I think it is important during this G20 summit to listen to President Obama and get a better understanding of the different aspects behind the decision of the Federal Reserve. Secondly, we should also recognize that growth in the United States is important and that growth in the United States will bring benefits to Europe and to the world economy. But of course, I also understand the concerns of others, and that is precisely why the G20 is so important, because we need to discuss in a cooperative manner these issues that may have effects on others. It is especially important to avoid negative spillover effects of decisions taken by one country and the rest of the world.
President Van Rompuy.
On the fiscal consolidation, I just remind you that at the G20 summit in Toronto, we agreed that the advanced countries will or should halve their deficits in the perspective of 2015. So it is a decision of the G20. And I think it is a wise decision because it is gradual, it is differentiated, and it can be growth-friendly. There is no contradiction between that kind of approach and correcting imbalances. There are a lot more instruments needed to correct imbalances than fiscal policy.
Thank you. The next question goes to the gentleman here in the front.
I'm Sven Dahlgaard from TV2 Denmark, and I have a question from President Van Rompuy. According to my notes, you said that the European Union will ask that currencies be based on fundamentals and on markets. Do you see the Chinese currency today being based on fundamentals and on a market approach? And if not so, how long can the European Union go on living with a de facto under-evaluated currency in its with it one of its biggest trading partners?
I said two things. First, that exchange rates had to reflect fundamentals, the first statement. The second is that these fundamentals have to be corrected there's fundamentals as far as inflation is concerned, but that is not a major problem today, but fundamentals also as far as current account of the balance of payments is concerned. So exchanges had to reflect fundamentals, but fundamentals in itself have to be corrected. That is our position. We accept that this could not be done overnight, that we need a gradual approach. And that's what we will put forward in the meetings of the G20 tonight and tomorrow. And we'll see what the reactions are. But that is our position, that we have to go to proceed in that way. Not overnight, but in a gradual way. And that's why we are putting all this, President Barroso did it, and I also, not in a provocative way, but in order to convince some countries, and not only China, to correct imbalances and to reflect that in the exchange rates.
If I may follow on, of course, this point, with my full support what President Van Rompuy just said, I just want to remind one thing. The Chinese authorities in June 2010 announced that renminbi would revert to a managed float against a basket of currencies. This move is welcome, and the Chinese authorities should be encouraged to use the potential for a broad-based appreciation of renminbi offered by this policy framework. This will help promote more balanced growth to the benefit of China and the world economy, and should allow other export-oriented economies in the region to let their currencies appreciate. So I believe it's important that this matter is taken in consideration by our Chinese partners.
Thank you, President. Udo van Kampen.
One question to Mr. Barroso. On which topics you are talking about? You are joining both the summit. On which topics you are talking about? And who is sitting on the table and who back? Or you are sitting on one chair together?
Look, this is the kind of discussions that we like to have in Brussels now. We are both representing the European Union, according to the Lisbon Treaty. And, of course, as usual, President Van Rompuy and myself, before the meetings, we distribute the roles in terms of which topic, which one takes the floor. Basically, what is important, I want to underline this, is that we come with one position. And this is the position of the European Union and its 27 member states. I think this is extremely important. Afterwards, it may happen also in the discussion that if the discussion is more informal, that we can come back to different issues. But we have, as usual, made a pre-distribution of the topics in which each one of us will take the floor. Excuse me?
A follow-up?
Sitting on the table? No, we're sitting in the chairs. We are sitting each one in one chair. But in the behind the plate says European Union. But each one will have one chair, that I can tell you.
We trained already in Toronto. It went well. Yeah. And we trained in all the summits we have with third countries. And I can assure you there are a lot of them, 11 for the coming weeks and the coming months. So we are working pretty well together. No problem at all. Don't worry.
The next question is for the lady in the front, behind the lady with the camera.
Hello, I'm Sandrine Restello with Bloomberg. You mentioned, Mr. Barroso, in your speech that Europe was having problems and you were aware and you were confident they could overcome it. Now, we cannot avoid asking you about Ireland today. How long do you think you can go without bailing out Ireland, without triggering a new debt crisis in Europe?
Look, we are monitoring the situation in Ireland on a permanent basis. Commissioner Olly Rehn, Commissioner for Economic and Monetary Affairs, Financial Affairs, just came from Dublin. What is important to know is that we have all necessary instruments in place now in the European Union and in the Eurozone to act, if necessary. But I'm not going to make any kind of speculation. What is important is to, of course, to support the very important efforts the Irish authorities are implementing. At the same time, we can reiterate that in case of need, the European Union is ready to support Ireland.
Thank you very much. Two more questions, and then I think we will have to close. Obviously, there are many preparatory meetings ahead before tonight for the two presidents. Yes, go ahead.
Hello, Sebastian Faletti from Le Figaro. A question again on the quantitative easing measure from the US. Do you think this measure that is could bring the dollars down further, do you think it will fuel more discussion next year on what the French presidency wants to talk about during G20, which is the future of the international monetary system? Do you think this could reopen the debate on the role of the dollars?
Regarding the general question, I already made my point. I will not repeat it. Regarding the second part of your question, yes, I think the French authorities were right, signaling the need to look at monetary issues. And in fact, I know that President Sarkozy and France intends to put the issue of the reform of the international monetary system very high in the agenda. And we see now from these developments that have taken place recently, namely discussion also on currencies and other issues like quantitative easing, that they are in fact a very important trigger for a debate on this matter. And so I expect next year, during the French presidency of G20, these issues of monetary issues to be very high in the agenda.
Thank you. The last question for the gentleman in the back.
Hi, I'm back here. Kevin Carmichael from the Globe and Mail newspaper from Canada. I have two questions, and you guys can rotate, since that's apparently what you do in Europe. The first question pertains to your comments about the need to take into account other countries when you're setting policy. How does that apply to central banks who, as you know, have mandates to take care of only their domestic circumstances and not look out to the rest of the world? And my second question relates to the issue around using current account balances as a signal or a warning sign as to excesses building up in the economy. Could you explain further on how that would work?
First, on our central bank, of course, they have a mandate, and the mandate for the European Central Bank is, in the first place, price stability. That's the mandate. And I think they did a pretty well good job because inflation was lower than 2% last decade. So the global situation of the Eurozone is a good one. Low inflation, current account of balance of payments in equilibrium, and even on the side of the budget deficits, our budget deficit is, for instance, half as big as an other very important country on the world stage. So I think that the European Central Bank, even if the mandate is focused on what we call domestic policy for 350 million people, but even if it's focused on domestic policy, the external effects are positive because we have no imbalance. We are on balance, and we have a track record on inflation, which is very well. What was your second question? And
how your idea about current
account as a warning? Yeah. Well, we set up a mechanism inside we decided upon a mechanism inside the European Union after what we experienced with some countries in the first decade of this century. So we have a closer look on a number of developments, and we are establishing indicators to follow those developments on balance of payments, on wages, on bubbles in the on wage evolutions, on real estate bubbles, prices, and so on. So we have a mechanism to follow all this, to monitor it, to assess it, to formulate even, that's on the side of the Union, to formulate even recommendations. And if they will not, some countries will not comply to those recommendations, then after a time we can even introduce sanctions. That we are not proposing for the world governance, but that is our system. We are setting this in place, and we decided upon in principle in the European Council 2 weeks ago. The European Commission made already detailed proposals, going into much more detail than I am telling you now, detailed proposals on this mechanism. So what we are proposing here is that we will have also some kind of indicators, alert mechanisms, and that we can assess a situation. So when we assess a situation, certain conclusions could be self-evident after a certain time. I think bringing all those problems at the surface and discuss them is already a first step to correct imbalances.
Thank you very much. This concludes our press conference this afternoon. Thanks very much for your questions. Thank you to the two presidents. Thank you very much.